Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Story for you. It was actually listener Carl who hipped me to this woman, and I don't know how I missed this last year when Jerry Corsi was interviewing her, but if you haven't heard of Bettina Viviano, you will in moments, and you will not forget the name either. She's a Hollywood insider, to say the least, and we normally think of people who've been on Steven Spielberg's staff as vice president of production for Amblin Entertainment, or somebody who's got their own film production company, negotiating contracts and dealing with other bigwigs. We normally think of these people as at best being agnostic to politics, but more likely being far to the left. Yeah, never a nary word about Obama, I'll tell you what. Well, that's not the case with Bettina Viviano. She literally is risking her career for this. And what makes her so enticing to me is that she's not coming from the right. Normally, when we talk about things like birthers, quote unquote, or anything really that is antagonistic to any current democratic regime, it's usually somebody who has a vested interest, somebody who's coming from a political persuasion. And you have to weigh that because, you know, I see them as Republicans and Demopublicans. But when somebody speaks out, risking all pretty much, and not coming from the right, they're of great interest to me. So I want you to meet Bettina Viviano. Thanks for joining us, Bettina.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I guess I just didn't notice last year when...
well, actually, it's been going on
longer
five
than,
years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since we made the documentary, but oh well.
It's my.
It's hard when the media doesn't do their jobs for us to all know each other. We have to kind of go underground and find each other.
Well, it's true. And I took a hiatus from radio for a couple of years and was working on some television projects, so I wasn't digging quite as much. But I plan to chastise Jerry Corsi for not calling me and telling me about you.
Love Jerry.
Yeah,
he's
I do too.
Best.
He is. And what I love most about Jerry is that when he puts out a book, it is annotated so well that every footnote is there and any naysayer can see with just absolute proof that the goods are there. And I thank him for that tireless work because a lot of us go ahead and call the shots but don't back it up with the kind of material he does. So I'm sure that I'm not alone in people listening to this show who are unaware of you as well. And like I say, it's truly delicious to me that you came from a total non-political viewpoint. So I want to go back to that point in time and say, what's the first moment you knew something was awry with the process?
Well, I mean, I never really did. I mean, I didn't vote until I was 45 years old. I mean, ever, not even once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for McCain. I just told you how old I am. But I just never even thought about politics. I'd been in the film business since I was 19 years old. And then my writer-director client, who also happened to be my best friend, Gigi Gaston, who directed our documentary, she got a phone call from a woman who'd worked for Hillary when Bill Clinton was president. And she said, "Hi, I noticed that you're a documentary filmmaker, and I work with Hillary Clinton's campaign, and we have allegations of voter fraud against the Obama campaign and the DNC, and we'd like you to make a documentary about it." So my client and best friend called me, and she, you know, had a history of being a longtime Democrat and Hillary supporter, was active in the Hillary campaign then, she called me up and she said, do you want to make this movie with me? And I said, what movie? And she said, well, just this documentary about the Democratic primary. And I said, what's a primary? I mean, honestly, I swear to God, I didn't know. I didn't know what a caucus, a primary, I didn't know any of it. And I almost said no to her because we ended up having to pay for the movie ourselves out of our own pocket. We weren't funded by the Democrats or Hillary or the Republicans. Right. Nobody. We've never made a dime off of it. But, you know, it was just this weird thing about, I think we started, I want to say in March of 2008, and we were trying to get it done and taken to Denver to stop this fraud and make it be Hillary on the ballot because she rightfully won. And, you know, we did a certain amount of it, got it put together, an hour's worth of it, ran it. I didn't go to Denver. I at that point, I could not be around that many liberals. I would have had a nervous breakdown. But they all went to Denver, and I broke my foot. But, you know, from the minute that we started doing it, the floodgates opened. I mean, I had thousands of phone calls of people saying, you know, we saw fraud, we were threatened, we had death threats, our lives were threatened, our jobs were threatened, our credentials in the Democratic Party. You know, I mean, it was endless. I mean, there were 2,000 complaints in one state, Texas. And, you know, caucuses are a hotbed of fraud. Democrats love them because they're just fraud, 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 fraud. And it just broke my heart. But along the way, because we were getting so involved in Clinton world. Now, mind you, I've never at this point I don't even know Republicans at all. Mm-hmm. And we're all Democrats. And, you know, along the way, because of the movie and because we were in positions with high up people in Clinton world, we were finding out who Obama was. I mean, we knew about Reverend Wright. We knew about Rashid Khalidi. And, you know, I picketed to get the Khalidi tape. And then, of course, there was the birther stuff, which was started by the Clintons and the people involved with the Clintons. There was no Tea Party then. I didn't even know any Republicans then, and the Republicans have quite frankly never pursued it. So the rumors that everybody's a crackpot and a Tea Partier and, you know, conservative who started it is a lie, because I had never even met, there was no Tea Party, and I'd never met a bunch of conservatives at that point. They were all Democrats. And so I was horrified. I mean, I was absolutely horrified that everything I knew about this person, none of it, I mean, the person that they were portraying Obama to be on MSDNC and you know, NBC and everything, not the guy I knew, not the guy I knew from actually going and documenting who he was. I mean, this isn't like we made things up. This is like actually going back into his life and how he got where he was. And, you know, a lot of it you'll never know because some of it just isn't there. But, you know, this is a guy who's missing for an entire year of his life in Colombia. You know, nobody knows where he was, no phone, no residence, no phone number, nothing. I mean, that's scary. Nobody's seen to this day, his school records. You know, whatever birth certificate he's given twice to that don't match. This is the president of the United States, and nobody cares. I mean, it's truly terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying to me that this is going on. And clearly, 5 years later, this man does not have our best interest at heart. Every single thing that we said would happen has happened. This country is being turned third world. He's destroying the economy, the poverty, the welfare, the food stamps. You know, he's weakening our defense. It's a mess.
Okay.
And I don't understand, you know, even one person voting for him the first time was appalling to me. The second time, it's unreasonable completely. But anyway, that's how I got where I am.
And it's fascinating to me. You mentioned March of 2008. Now, this is probably around the time that most of us looking at this, even those of us who weren't too concerned about the Democratic primary one way or another at that time, realized that the fix was in against Hillary. I think New Hampshire, more than anywhere else, was so graphic in terms of something is up with that. And, of course, it's not long before we start to see that we've got somewhat of a Manchurian candidate here. Now, what conservatives might have thought about him or said about him, I'm sure is somewhat different than what insiders were saying. Before we even get to the birth certificate, with regard to the Clinton camp, what was their rationale for why Obama was being put forth as the candidate?
Well, you know, I've never been a Democrat, so I had to go digging up, like, what was going on with them. And I used to write hate mail to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Howard Dean, who I thought was horrible, mm-hmm. and Donna Brazile. And, you know, it was a mystery to me because I'm thinking if she had the most popular votes, I think, in history of any Democrat candidate in a primary, then if that's what the people wanted, then let them have it. Why go to the extent of cheating and stealing delegates and all this caucus fraud? Why do that?
What'd you find out?
You know, apparently there's some warring faction in the Democratic Party, the Clinton Democrats versus the, you know, the more blue-collar Democrats versus the sort of elitist, you know, I don't know.
All right.
You know, I've never quite, I don't like their party, and I'll never, as long as I live, ever vote for one after what they did. So yeah. Well, I can't figure out what they do. I think they all belong in federal prison. That's my opinion.
Do you think it's possible that these things are orchestrated by names and faces we've never seen?
Well, here's I will tell you this. This is, you know, we knew who George Soros was
right.
4 years before Glenn Beck brought it up.
Sure.
I mean, it was like a big deal. But, you know, I remember the day that Gigi came in and said to me, "Have you ever heard of this guy?" And he was standing on the corner leading Jews to the ovens and then stole all their property and auctioned it, and he's a billionaire. I mean, I knew everything about the guy, and I read his father's biography, you know, everything. And that was back in 2008. I had asked a Democratic Party chair, not a Republican, this was a Democrat, and he was a very senior Democrat who had helped us a lot with our film and was incredibly high up and knew everything that was going on. And every time I had a problem, and I was crying all the time, I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. Every time I saw this disgusting stuff, I would call him and go, "What in the world is going on?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Will you just give me the philosophy behind why that they even care if it's Hillary Obama? Clearly they're going to win after all the Bush hate they ginned up. Why don't they just let the people pick their own candidate?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, and there was a time, I don't know if you remember this, there's a time during the primary where Hillary and Obama both disappeared for an afternoon.
Yes.
It was some weird thing.
They went to the Bilderberg meeting.
Well, that was one of them, but supposedly at one point they both met with Soros.
Right.
And Soros picked Obama because Soros's goal in life is destroy America. I mean, he says mm-hmm. it flat out. The culmination of my life's work will be the destruction of America. And he sort of, I guess, Hillary loves this country, even though she's a full-blown communist like he is. And I don't think she was agreeing to the whole agenda. And Obama, of course, has no problem hitting the golf course and watching this country burn to the ground. Now, that is the reason I was told
okay.
that Hillary wasn't going along with whatever the agenda was, with these globalist Looney Tunes.
Well, that would
so,
that would
and
actually,
that was from a Democrat. Again,
yeah.
I did not know any Republicans. That
right.
was from a party chair, a state party chair Democrat.
That would confirm my thought that this is decided, again, probably names and faces. We know Soros, I think there are many, we don't. But the fix was in. Clearly, the fix was in. Now, at what point did Bill and Hillary, because now I'm sure they went into overdrive to discover who is this relatively unknown front runner, because he came pretty much from obscurity in a few years. When did they find out that something was awry about his background?
Well, you know, I mean, the Clintons are some of the most powerful people in
sure.
the world, like it or not. You have to, if you're using your brain, you think they all do opposition research
of course.
On each other. That's what they do. They hire people. I mean, if
of
you
course.
And I can go to the internet and find this crap on Obama, can't they?
Sure.
I mean, they, you know, you have to think, as soon as this guy comes along, because Hillary probably thought she had it in the bag, and here he comes, and he's never accomplished anything in his life, and he's a sketchy guy with a weird background. You know, is he Muslim? Is he not? You know, he's never, nobody quite knows why he's in the Harvard Law Review and never published any articles, unheard of. You know, nobody quite knows who paid for him to go to Harvard.
Right.
You know, we do, I know, you know, but not everybody else knew. Nobody knows where he was for a whole year at Columbia. You know, all this stuff is adding up. He won't release any of his medical records, school,
right.
college records. Nobody,
right.
I mean, the guy's a total cipher. Of course they knew. If you know it and I
oh,
know
no,
it.
Oh, no, I knew them.
Do you think, I mean,
oh, yeah.
that's what blows my mind is people thinking the Clintons actually like this guy.
No,
they
no.
can't stand him.
Yeah, that to me is relatively apparent. But where I am on this is I absolutely believe with every fiber of my DNA that something is rotten here to the core, but I am not 100% sure what. I know the birth certificate is not real. I don't doubt that for a picosecond. That's a total forgery. But what I wonder is what is it about it that's not real? You know, of course, the idea that Frank Marshall Davis is his father is out there. Now, the Clintons, like you say, they're powerful, and they have access to things that I'm never going to see, not things that are on LexisNexis, the real things. Now, in dealing with the insiders you dealt with, what is it that he's hiding? Do we know what it is about this phony birth certificate? If we saw the real one, what would be on it?
Well, first of all, I personally do not. I mean, the Clintons openly, Bill Clinton, I was on a call where, you know, every single day she had these campaign calls, Hillary,
yeah.
And Bill would be on all of them. If you go to Politico, they even have articles about it and about how pissed he was because he was screaming
right.
Every single day. He was just, you know, called him every name. And this is a guy who actually said about Obama, you know, he would be getting me coffee in the White House. I mean, he even said that.
Yeah.
And Obama called Bill Clinton a racist, which he never got over. I mean, that's just, you know.
Right.
Democrats use that all day long, and it's an offensive, horrible word. It's another reason I'll never vote for any of them. But here's, you know, my personal opinion, and this was at a time where, do you remember Fight the Smears?
Yeah.
Okay, so Fight the Smears was Obama's own website.
Right.
It wasn't the Republicans. It wasn't even the Democrats. It was his own campaign who puts up Fight the Smears,
right.
Which it says he's a British citizen, that he was, you know, he was born, his father was a citizen of Britain because of the Kenyan blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. He never denied that, but during that time he was saying, well, it's okay because my British citizenship expired. It's not just the birth certificate. It's he's not natural born citizen. I mean, and that issue should be, you know, the thing that bugs me is that was put in the Constitution for a reason.
Oh, of course.
And that was obviously so that we have a president who's loyal to our country first and foremost and not a dual citizen and dual loyalties. And, you know, the founders were smart. They knew this guy was coming. You know, they didn't know when, but they knew a guy like this would come along who has absolutely no loyalty to this country whatsoever, and we don't even know why he was put there. And they put that clause in there for a reason. And even though it's never been, you know, there's arguments that it's not quite clearly defined or it is in Vattel and that there's Supreme Court precedent, you know, the truth is we get to decide that because we pay his paycheck. And people don't get to call me crazy because I want to know who he
right.
is.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's in charge of my life, my security, and I demand to know who he is. And no hiding and no burying and presenting two phony birth certificates. Not one, two. Didn't
right.
the Alabama Democratic Party in one of the lawsuits, they presented two different versions
right.
of it in the lawsuit.
Well, and then, of course,
I mean, this is the president of the United States. Are you kidding? And we don't have a right to ask?
No, and the courts have pretty much ruled we don't have the right to ask. They claim we don't have standing as citizens,
yeah,
as you well know.
Not one court has ever said he's legit. They've never ruled on the natural born citizenship thing. In fact,
they won't touch
Clarence
it.
Thomas, another activist judge from the bench, flat out said during the election they'll never rule on this.
Right.
They won't touch it.
Right.
And,
but,
you know, if you argue that it's racist and, you know, anybody should be able to come here and be our president, you know, provided that they become a U.S. citizen. Well, that's fine. Ahmadinejad, he can come here and become a U.S.
Well,
citizen. So could have Gaddafi. So could have all those people. Then fine. That's an argument you can have later on, which is should we even have a law like that where
right.
you should be, which I believe you should, because look where we are now. But that's not the point whether you agree with it or not. It's the law that's on the books. And this guy just snubs his nose. He uses $3 million of taxpayer money to defend himself and file motions to dismiss. And you have to ask yourself, it's $10 to get a real vault copy of your birth certificate. $10. $3 million in legal fees to avoid giving one up, or $10. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out.
I was just curious that in your discussions with everybody, and of course, you know, for pretty much secondhand, which is closer than all of us, about Bill Clinton's involvement, and we'll get to that, but did anybody ever proffer a theory about what's on that real certificate?
You know, nobody for sure knows. I mean, and I didn't hear, you know, for sure. I mean, I think that when the Clintons and everybody were discussing it, I'm only thinking that, you know, they might have been discussing it natural-born citizen-wise. I don't know.
See, there's...
He just when I heard him say it, he would call him the immigrant or the ineligible or something.
Yeah, the imposter.
Yeah.
When you get into the Social Security aspect, and of course Jerry Corsi did so much work, there's no doubt, the number that Obama has used was issued to an octogenarian female in Connecticut. Now, even if he were not quote-unquote natural-born, even if he was born in Kenya and both of his parents were Kenyan, given his age at the time, he could have applied for and gotten, most likely, a Social Security number. So the question becomes, and then there's a big
one
to me.
Why does he have a fake one?
Right. And also, if you had one, Bettina, you'd be in jail.
Well, no. I mean, this is a guy who has a fake Social Security number. His Selective Service draft thing is phony. We don't know which birth certificate, and we know, you know, the funny thing is back then, back in 2008, we all knew, because back then he shows up with something that says African-American. And everybody at that point knew.
Yeah.
Well, they called him Negro back in 61.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, the Census Department didn't use African-American until the 80s or something. I mean, they had as his race, African.
Right.
I mean, there was everything wrong with the first one he gave up. And I guess he just put it away, and then people bugged him for a long time. And then he shows up with the one back in, what, 2010 or 11, when Corsi was bringing out the book.
Right.
The thing was clearly, clearly a joke, and everybody knew it. I mean, here's the thing. All the people I associated with, and these were all Democrats, it was a joke. Nobody thought this guy was legit under any circumstances. You know, there's two things. There's one that you can't even get a look at his birth certificate, a real one, and there's the natural-born citizen clause. There's both of them. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi and the certifications in every state.
Right.
Removing the part of under the Constitution. Is that just an accident?
No.
You know, there's emails from her saying the same thing. Yes, he was born a British citizen, but it expired. No, it didn't. And the guy's 100% a fraud. Do you know who he is? I don't.
Absolutely not. And that's what I'm most curious about. I'm hoping the day will come when we, and again, regardless of what you think about him, where your politics are, there are so many question marks as to who this is that I still want to know why you'd spend $3 million to hide a cert. What is on it? We may never know based upon something you discovered, Bettina, which is that Bill Clinton was going to bring it all forth until he was threatened.
Yeah, I mean, it was constant because I would say to everybody, okay, when's it happening? And you know, the people high up there that were their friends were like, he's going to have a press conference. He's going to tell the truth. He's going to tell the truth about it. But I mean, there was so much for him to talk about. I mean, he knew how inappropriate this guy was to run this country. And, you know, at the bottom, I can't stand the Clintons now because they made some deal in Denver to make this all go away.
Of course.
For her to have the job and whatever. And my friends were all there. I didn't go, but I was on the phone with them all day and all night. And I knew the day before she did her phony little step down.
Right.
I knew the plan. We knew that they'd been locked up in rooms screaming at each other and how much they hated each other making this deal. And, you know, he kept telling everyone he was going to tell the truth. And for them not to do it is such a letdown to me. So I'll never, you know, for her to become president, and even after Benghazi, how can you even vote for her? But it was heartbreaking, and I know that a lot of Democrats switch party. I'm in huge patriot groups across the country. It's all Democrats that left the party over this whole thing, and being disappointed that they laid their lives on the line for Hillary, and she would not come out and tell the truth about this guy, and they still trot Bill out when he's in trouble. You know, oh, sure, Hillary can be the candidate in 2016, but you got to come out and help Obama.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
We're going to pick it up right
disgusting.
There. I've got Bettina Viviano with me. If you go to Raleigh.net, you'll see links to, well, the video with Jerry Corsi, the story, and also to the documentary she has made. Because in the bigger picture, there's something more than just the man Obama, and that is systemic voter fraud. Not a surprise to you, of course, but much easier now with electronic voting, isn't it? We'll pick it up there on The Raleigh James Show.
It's The Raleigh James Show.
No, it's all over now. I'll use the break time, actually, because if you're listening, you're listening online, to remind you about CC Wi-Fi radios. This is, if you're at home listening, the best way to hear online radio. It's just like a radio. Yeah, just like your old AM, FM set. It's got buttons and knobs and a clock and alarmer, a timer, and all those good things. It works with any broadband internet connection as long as you've got a little wireless access point, but most people at home do. You bring that to the table, the radio does everything else. It's a radio that's a miracle. There's over 16,000 stations from which to choose. You want to listen to me 24 hours a day? Well, that's going to get old, actually, though you can. Well, you've got 15,999 other choices. It's small, it's compact, it easily fits on a nightstand for late night listening. I use it with my pillow speaker right under the pillow, listening to Alex Jones and everybody else. Yeah, that's the beauty of this. I want to hear obscure R&B oldies? No problem. It's there. It's $99.95. If you mention the coupon code James, you get 5% off your entire order. And that's anything you're going to buy. CCRadio.com. If you go to Raleigh.net, you will be able to get to the Sea Crane Company directly there and look around. Oh, there's going to be something you got to have. Maybe it's just a pillow speaker. They really are tremendous. But if you've been lamenting that the stuff you want to hear isn't on the radio, well, it sure is on Wi-Fi radio, and the CC Wi-Fi is the best way to go. Go to Raleigh.net, Rolly.net, and you'll get a link right there to the Sea Crane Company, or give them a call tomorrow. They'll be back in the office whenever you get up. Unlike any other site online, this is real customer service. You call them during the day, they pick up the phone, they answer in Fortuna, California. It's 888-444-7993. That's 888-444-7993. You tell them Raleigh sent you. It's the CC Wi-Fi radio. We'll be back to Bettina in about 10 seconds. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, yeah. Who's your favorite candidate, baby?
Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?
Who's your favorite candidate, baby?
If I should win, you will never ever be lonely again. I know I'm up against stiff say competition, and I know I'm running for a viable position. So who's your favorite candidate?
A Max, The Raleigh James Show. Call Raleigh now at 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh.
And if you'd like to call, that's terrific. 610-640-6400 will get you here directly. But hey, I have no trouble hogging Bettina, that's for sure. I'm certainly not done with my questions. And I know she'll never be done with the surprise she experienced uncovering all of this. But, you know, I heard an interview that you did, Bettina, and the thing that really stood out in my mind, because I guess I always knew this, but I never really elucidated it, was the fact that the Democrats are fine with voter fraud. So tell me about that theory.
You know, my theory about Democrats is that, you know, it's the whole totalitarian collectivist nonsense. I mean, it's just the same thing as, you know, everything Obama's doing is fine with liberals. I mean, you know, they actually wrote thank you notes to Obama and the IRS for targeting conservatives, because I think they have some weird moral relativity that they know better than we do, and if it's for the greater good, then they can commit any crime, any voter fraud, whatever. I mean, they from what I saw, they had no problem with it, and because it was out in the open. I mean, they weren't trying to hide anything from anyone. I mean, it was just right there in front of your face. It was just unbelievable.
And you know, it makes perfect sense, because when you say that, their mantra is, we know better than you how to live your life.
Yeah.
That's the whole theory behind socialism or communism. We know how you should live. So if you truly believe this, if you incorporate it into your own personal logic, you have to believe that then it's okay to throw an election because we know better than you how you should vote.
Yeah, I mean, when I started, because... you know, I at the beginning of this, I was sort of living in two worlds that I thought I could have together, which what I would try to tell my Hollywood liberal friends about what I was seeing and the fraud. And the biggest response I got, who cares? Bush did it too.
Right.
I mean, honestly, almost 100% of the people I told that I had physically witnessed, I had seen with my own eyes, the Obama campaign and the DNC committing rampant voter fraud. And by the way, it was Acorn, but we didn't know they had a name back then. We interviewed Acorn people later, right. Much later, like a year later. But, you know, it was just mind-boggling. You know, nobody wanted to really hear any more about it. Or really, I mean, that's interesting. That's awful. Voter fraud. Because once you see this, and once you've been in the eye of a storm of Democrat voter fraud, you realize your vote's worthless, and you start realizing that what differentiates our country from many other countries is the lack of a democratic process or your vote meaning anything. And I realized that my vote no longer, I mean, I truly do not believe my vote matters in this country. I think 2012 was full of fraud. I mean, we see it. You know, there's precincts in Ohio where 162% of the precinct voted for Obama. I mean, it's just the numbers don't add up. And we saw it in 2008, you know, for some reason, repeatedly, Lake County, Indiana. We kept seeing it, And we had interviewed a lot of people there who, you know, you've seen it in the documentary, mm-hmm. who were complaining about the fraud. And they just do it out in front of you. I mean, these are people who I would... You know, one day wake up and the new one would be the Democrats got vans and they drove around, which I don't even know if this is necessarily illegal. I guess somewhere it is. And, you know, they'd get vans and they'd drive down to Skid Row and pick the bums out and put them in the van and go to insane asylums, which there's been articles about them doing this, and going to old folks' homes and people that were completely out of it and didn't know what they were doing.
Sure.
You know, they'd give the bums a bottle of vodka and a pack of cigarettes and a $20 bill and take them to vote and then dump them back out on the street. Because truth be told, they really don't care about those people. They care about them for votes, just like they care about black people who they park in Detroit and then bring them out like chia pets for votes. Meanwhile, Obama's policies have caused more heartache for blacks anybody. But, you know, that's just the stuff they did, and they did not feel bad about it.
Well, that
they did
the
not
thing.
Feel any remorse for committing rampant crimes to do this, which
that's
unbelievable.
That's the telling thing, of course. And now, with electronic voting machines virtually everywhere, they're not going to need to pick up gums because you just change the code in the machine and you're done. Now, this is not in any way to say, and the Republicans are totally above everything. It's just, and you pointed it out so well when I heard that interview, it's just that the Democrats come at it with complete righteousness. They believe that what they're doing is appropriate and proper. They're not hiding behind this. They're actually coming forth within their ranks proud of this, which is truly chilling. But there's another thing, too, and I haven't ever heard you talk about it, and I don't know where you stand on it, and that is that a number of people in this last election, for instance, though we could talk about any of them, didn't vote for Obama. They voted against Romney. It seems as if there's almost a bigger fix somewhere that candidates who couldn't beat anybody somehow come up there and the election turns out the way it's wanted. Do you think it's impossible that they couldn't have come up with a better candidate than a Romney?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I saw somewhere that Peggy Noonan just is it a book she wrote about how out of touch the GOP is with their base?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my personal opinion, I know I I believe, and I do know specifically in one instance for a fact, that the GOP people in the position to do something about Obama have been blackmailed and threatened. And that, you know, is very unfortunate, but that's how he rolls. I mean, if you go back to when he was a senator, I mean, none of the IRS stuff and him snooping on people and targeting conservatives, this is what he's done his whole life. I mean, Ann Coulter even said this about unsealing divorce records.
Right.
You know, the whole mess with Alice Palmer, who was his mentor, who he stabbed in the back and had everybody removed from the ballot so he ran unchallenged. This is a filthy, dirty guy that crawled out of the sewer of Chicago. And whoever put him, you know, the Ayers family and Bill Ayers' father and all the people, I mean, they're dirty people. They're just dirty. They're filth. They're anti-American, dirty, filthy people. Everybody around Obama's filthy, from Rezko to Ouchie to Blagojevich. The whole mess with Donald Young, Reverend Wright. I mean, all of that stuff should have immediately disqualified him from even being on the ballot. But they don't care. I mean, they just want to win. So they figured they had a black guy who could give a great speech, didn't care about his background, his past, who he was, what he would do to this country. I mean, I'm sure some of normal, everyday Democrats, because they're
right.
pathetic people.
Yeah,
they're just dumb, brainwashed idiots. But normal, decent people who actually thought this is a great guy, he's going to do wonderful things, and then the elitist globalist nuts who picked him because he had no problem destroying the country. And then, you know...
Well, there's another thing. There's another thing he has they want. And that is, he's got a secret. Now, we're dancing about it because we don't know specifically what it is. We all know he's
That's
got
right.
a secret.
They've got him.
Right.
But, you
right.
know, that means every other country on the planet's got him, too.
That's...
Which is, the scariest part was always, it wasn't what someone here would do with the information. It's what
of course.
Putin does with it, or Ahmadinejad does with it, or Assad, or Abbas, or any of those people who know. I mean, they other countries have come out and said the guy's
yeah.
a total fraud.
Now,
but it's our media.
Right. The myth of the free press is a whole other subject, which we'll get to. But you've mentioned before that Bill Clinton was going to come out with this, that nothing was going to stop him, and that it was threats that he got that stopped him in his tracks. What happened there?
Well, you know, there's even, I'm sure you remember this, there's that video where during the campaign or during the election, somebody, and it's on YouTube, somebody said to Bill Clinton, is Obama qualified to be president? And he kind of grinned and said, well, if he's over 35 and a U.S.
Right.
citizen, wink, wink. Everybody
yeah.
knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that was just, all yeah. that little stuff, he was just itching. You know Bill. He's just mischievous, and he's itching to tell the truth, and he can't get it out because he knows the party's going to kill him. And, you know, where do the Clintons go if they're not Democratic Party people? They write books. They're
yeah.
banished to Siberia. I mean, they're party people. Their whole lives are
sure.
Democratic Party. What are they going to do? And so, yes, we kept hearing, and then the final time we heard about it was like January, right before the inauguration. I was told, you know, absolutely, he's not going to let this happen without coming out and telling the truth. Then in, then he did nothing, and then it just was the most heartbreaking thing. And then in 2011, I think it was, in September or something, Fox and Friends ran our documentary for 6 weeks, and they had Gloria Allred, who's in our film, and Gigi,
right.
who directed it. They wouldn't let me on Fox and Friends because I was a Republican. It was the most insane thing. I was in Houston speaking at True the Vote, and I was doing the Dan Patrick radio show while I was in Houston, and Fox and Friends interviewed me and said, you can't be on because you're a Republican.
Okay.
By this time, I had registered Republican because I would never vote for any Democrat. But so they ran our documentary on Fox and Friends, and there was a woman that was incredibly high up with Hillary and a good friend of hers, and they wanted her to be on the show, so they told me to call her. And I called her up, and I said, do you want to be on the show? And she said, absolutely not. And I said, why? And she goes, I'm scared of these people. And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, tell me again the whole thing about Bill Gwatney, because I remembered where I was when it happened. I was
mm-hmm.
in Lake Tahoe with a broken foot when Bill Gwatney got killed.
Right.
And somebody walked in his office. He was Bill Clinton's best friend, chairman of the Arkansas Democratic Party. Somebody walked past the receptionist, into his office, past other offices, directly right into his office, shot him, killed him, ran out, and then the police got him and killed him. There's never any motive. And we all knew that it had to be connected to this, because you have to understand, this is also when Donald Young we knew about. You know, we knew that in 2008, mm-hmm. and I know what that's connected to. I'm sure you do, too.
Right.
And there were people, there was, who was the, Stephanie Tubbs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of a sudden, there's all the, and the guy that broke in the passport office, and you sound like a conspiracy nut, except for all these people dropping dead all over the place. And now here's Bill Gwatney, for no reason whatsoever. The guy's just the chairman of an Arkansas Democratic Party. So then this woman tells me the whole story. As she had told me before, I said, you got to tell the whole story again, because it just blew my mind. And she said the reason that they did it was because Bill was going to tell everything. And they said, you know, if you do, this is going to be you next. And he still didn't care. He was still going to do it. And they said, okay, well, we're going to come get you. And he didn't care. And then they finally threatened his daughter. And that, it, word for word, is exactly what I was told by somebody very close to Hillary. And so, look, it could be not true, could be, you know, whatever. It's what I know. It's what, you know,
well,
twice I heard word for word, and the guy was killed, and there was never a motive. And, you know, he was also going to not, as, you know, the party chairman, Arkansas was not going to stand for Obama during the roll call.
It's interesting because, of course, during Clinton's tenure, while you were being apolitical, the Arkansas list started to come out, and you've probably looked at this since then. These threats would not surprise Bill Clinton because over 70 people, including kids, had the unfortunate habit of dropping dead around him, you know, sometimes committing suicide, shooting themselves in the back of the head, when they had things on the Clintons. So this was business as usual. So I'm not surprised in the least that Bill Clinton wouldn't have paid attention because he knows how this works.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it was just, you know, when you are at that level with these people and you are seeing time after time after time after time, I mean, as far as the Donald Young thing, which no one's ever proved, but we didn't have enough money to make a real fancy movie. We paid out of our pockets, like something like $35,000 or $40,000. We never got any dime from anybody. We had some donations over time that helped us hire editors. But during the time, we actually shot it, and we had to fly all over the country to interview people because there were 14 caucus states. And we had 5 weeks to make the film, 5 weeks. So there were just places we couldn't go. And one of them was Chicago. So what we would do was go to Best Buy and buy a camera, and we'd FedEx it to somebody and have them let us use their house
right.
to film in. Well, one of the women was married to a Chicago PD homicide detective, and we were using her house to shoot in. I talked to her for 3 hours one day about everything the Chicago PD and Patrick Fitzgerald, the head of the FBI, everything they knew about him and they couldn't prove. And she said, my husband came home and said, we know for a fact that that whole Donald Young thing was a cover-up, you know, about the whole being gay, but we can't prove it. His own mother has come out
yes.
and said it.
I was gonna say that. If there's anybody who doesn't, the name will sound familiar to everybody, but he was the choir director at Trinity, the infamous church, and he winds up dead, and he was openly gay. And so suddenly there were a number of rumors about his lifestyle and perhaps even involving Obama. And while it was not provable, or hopefully there was no evidence that would have proved it one way or another, his mother came forth a couple of years ago now and started to really talk about this. There were two other openly gay men in Wright's church as well, Larry Bland and Nate Spencer. And Bland was murdered in 2007. Young was murdered a month later, 2007. Both was pretty much execution-style murder, and Spencer died of septicemia at the same time. So all within like 30 days, 60 days at most, this went down. And so Young's mother started to speak that her son was murdered to protect Obama's reputation. So no one's ever known precisely what that's about, but it's just another fact that becomes more interesting, Bettina, again, because of what we don't know. You mentioned Columbia University and people like Wayne Allen Root, and granted, he was a libertarian candidate and all that, so he has his own politics, but he graduated in the major that Obama supposedly took at the exact same time and will, to his dying day, say, no one ever heard of this guy.
Yeah, there's professors that say they never knew who he was.
Right.
You know, that's the thing is, time after time after time after time, if these things exist and they're facts and they're documentable, you know, it can't just be tinfoil hat conspiracy. I mean, I'm a really grounded person. I'm from Missouri. I've been in, you know, the film business my whole life. But, I mean, I've never worked with sleazebags. I mean, I've had, you know, people like Spielberg and the William Morris Agency. I mean, I'm a normal person. I have a normal family. I have 150 crazy Italian cousins. And, I mean, there's nothing for me or for you or for anybody to get out of this other than to tell the truth. I've never been paid. I've never asked for money. I've gone on every radio show they've ever asked me to go on. I've talked to anybody that would listen to me. There's nothing to get out of this other than this. There's something wrong here, and you know, the greatest frustration being the media who works for the White House,
right?
And they're poisoning. You know, there's a war in this country. Whether people, you know, people say, well, you know, we're not at war. Oh yeah, we are. And the war that we, or the coup that happened was, they knew that they were never going to get us rolling tanks down the street. So what they did was they poisoned information. They took the kids, they polluted them in school, got them young, and then they took over the media. And it's an information war, and we can't win because we only have each other and talk radio and internet radio. And you know, we don't control the networks. We don't have, you know, the networks shilling for us and lying and burying stories like Benghazi. And I'm working very hard to try to raise money to change that because they are, I think, the biggest threat. I mean, it's the information that is the biggest threat. The kids come out of school, they vote, these young kids, and they really honestly believe the crap they're fed at these crazy liberal institutions. You know, I mean, you know, Republicans are selfish, and believe me, I have my own issue with, I don't love every single Republican, but from where I sit, you know, like crime-wise and criminal activity and, you know, way different group of people. I think Republicans are just lame because, you know, they're a bunch of doctors and lawyers and, you know, guys that just don't know how to fight and are just sitting there going, what the heck is going on?
Well, but they're not coming from the position you described, which is that belief to the core that they are right and whatever they do is appropriate. They're not on that level of a mission, so it becomes somewhat of an unfair contest, and I think that's where we are on that. But you hit it right on the head. It's the myth of the free press that's going to take us down, and most people are much like you were. They're not going to be involved until the wolf is at their door. By the time the wolf is salivating, it's probably way too late. So we're dealing with that, with a non-free press, if you will. In your documentary, and I should mention it's WeWillNotBeSilenced2008.com, and I've got a link to that on Raleigh.net, and you are taking donations to finish it, so hopefully people can go there and check out the trailer as it is and all that. But have you uncovered anything as to what is it? Is it just that the average journalist is a leftist in their heart? Are they being controlled on some other level? What has so lockstep made the press an ally of those who are socialist, Marxist, communists?
Well, you know, I mean, the media, it's not like we live in another country where there's a guy sitting at a desk and he's just reading the news. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, our news has become entertainment. I mean, you can't look at Chris Matthews and Rachel Maddow and actually take that seriously if you have a brain. I mean, you can't go, gee, that's news. I mean, it's opinion journalism, and it's selective journalism, and it's biased. And I think it's the same thing, you know, of information. I think Hollywood has been, to a certain extent, poisoned. You know, look at the films. It became very difficult for me. You know, having been in this business forever and never paying any attention to any of that. And then after the experiences I have been through in the past, you know, 5 going on 6 years, to look at what I see on TV now and realize the propaganda. Like, you know, they'll mention the Tea Party, or, you know, if you look at the bad guys in every TV show, they're white rednecks, you know, killing black people. I mean, you start to notice it. You start to become extremely sensitive to propaganda when you've lived through this, like you have.
Right.
And I think that it's a machine. It's a big machine. And I did ask, and remember the guy I told you was a state party chairman who would help us out? I went to him one day and I said, why on earth is MSNBC doing this? I mean, they have to know this guy is not the guy. And he said, General Electric is bankrupt, and Obama promised $250 billion or bail him out if they would shill for him, be on his side during the campaign, including the primary. And sure enough, I kid you not, 2 days later in the L.A. Times, there was a little tiny article, Obama promises to bail out GE if he's elected. And then, as you know, we did give them something like $230 billion, and he made, you know, Jeff Immelt, the head of his, he made him his job czar, or head of his jobs thing. I mean, and all of the technology for Obamacare and the medical stuff and the wind farms and everything goes through GE. I mean, he's made that company, gone from bankrupt to extremely wealthy, and at the time they owned, although no longer, but they owned MSNBC and NBC. And, you know, I think there was money. I think that you will never get past the media. I mean, look at, there's people in the media married to people in the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
These are extremely, extremely small group of out-of-touch elitist people. And they have no earthly idea, I don't think, what is going on. I mean, they just take it at face value. Here's this black guy. He's a liberal. If you don't like him, you're a racist. You know, if you ask any questions about him, you're a racist. I mean,
right, and here's the press release. Read this on the air, and you'll come to the party and eat the prawns. You know, I unfortunately see that. So now you are going to, as soon as money permits, finish this documentary. What else are you working on right now?
Well, I mean, in my other life, I've got a whole bunch of
movies. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, with regard to this, are you attacking this from another prong or?
Oh, well, I am. I partnered with some people that I know from Hollywood. That, by the way, it's a big myth that everybody's a liberal.
Oh,
there's
of course.
I'm sure you know. There's a huge group started by a big actor of conservatives that's supposed to be a secret. There's 2,000 people in the group. We're about to have a huge party with Rush Limbaugh, blah, blah, blah. But, and we have speakers. We've had Mitt Romney, Boehner, you know, we've had Paul Brown. Every single Eric Cantor, everybody comes and speaks. And they're prominent Hollywood people. So it's not everybody. It's just, unfortunately, the people that make most of the decisions of what you know or don't know are liberals. But we are trying to get funded. We think the people, like the Trumps and the Koch brothers and everything, if they really want to turn the country around, let's have our own media. Because I don't think Fox tells the truth either. I mean, I love Fox. I'm not bagging on them. But, you know, they're under the same orders not to discuss certain things. I want real media. I want somebody that tells the truth, and I don't have to get it off the Internet. So we're trying to put together a media company to make, like, family films, but to also have a news group that would tell the truth. I mean, the absolute damn dirty truth, whether people liked it or not. Because that's what America needs. Otherwise, we're not going to get out of this mess.
Yeah, and you're right about that. Also, one that can differentiate news and infotainment. You know, when you mention a Maddow or a Matthews, these guys are preaching to their choir for the most part. Everybody has gone away from news because it's not a ratings getter. Going back to when eyewitness news first started in the 60s on local outlets, we're seeing less and less news. So if there's an organization dedicated to actually giving news, ratings be damned, from an unbiased viewpoint, that's award-winning, so I wish all the luck in the world in pulling that off.
Yeah, well, we're trying.
Well,
It's the only way I see out of this mess is educating people, because the votes can't even be close anymore. If somebody as dangerous as Obama comes along, it can't be 51% to 49%. I mean, it's got to be, no, that's not going to happen, and the guy's not going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's twice now that we did this, and we have 3 more years with this guy if we can't impeach him. It's unbelievable. I don't know how to get through it. because it's going to look like a third world banana republic when he's done.
Well, with any luck, Obamacare will be his undoing, because I'm delighted every day to see more and more people, Democrats running from it, Republicans more open about what it is. Eventually, something will awaken the people. And that I know what you're trying to do every day. And I thank you for it. But Tina, thank you for joining us. I hope we can talk again.
Thank you, Raleigh, so much for having me.
My pleasure. Appreciate you taking the time. Bettina Viviano, and again, I've got a link at raleigh.net to her website, wewillnotbesilenced2008.com.
It's the Raleigh James Show.